Joining us now, Comptroller Sean Scanlon, and welcome back to the show, Comptroller. Tell us what you felt were some key takeaways from the budget address from the governor.
Well, you know, the governor really laid out a vision yesterday of how we can move forward as a state. And if, as we've talked about, Melissa, on the show, 10 years ago, Connecticut was in a fiscal crisis. Today, we've ended that fiscal crisis, but we're dealing with another crisis, which is the affordability crisis of Connecticut. People are having trouble affording health care, child care, energy, housing. And what the governor laid out yesterday, it was a roadmap, I think, in my mind, of what the next couple of years are going to look like as we continue Connecticut's fiscal progress, but also start trying to address the affordability crisis in our state. And obviously, it's the first inning of a long baseball game here where the legislature will take a crack at a budget and they'll ultimately negotiate something in May or June. But I think he laid out a really important roadmap and started the conversation on the correct foot.
Something, Comptroller, that you and the governor and certainly it feels like the Republican Party have been very adamant about for years now is keeping the fiscal guardrails in place, not touching them. But it sounds like that's not going to totally be the case. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, I would say that the guardrails were created in 2017 with a mission to end that fiscal crisis. And like I said, I think that we have done that. We are not out of the woods. We still have a lot of work left to do. But the crisis that we were living through when we came up with those numbers has ended. And so I think what he's proposing is, what does the future of the guardrails look like? They are locked in through 2028. And the thing that he proposed yesterday of taking a little bit of the money that otherwise would be going to pay down pension debt. By the way, we've paid down $8.5 billion of it in the last few years. We still project we'll pay down $1 billion of it this year, even with the change that he's making. So we're not really diverting from that path. But there's been a debate about whether we're saving too much money and therefore not able to meet the needs of the people of the state. And what he proposed yesterday was to take a little bit of that money that we would otherwise be going to these excess payments and use that to fully fund child care and pre-K in the state of Connecticut for every resident of our state starting in a few years. I'm a young parent. I know you're a young parent. This is a really big cost driver for everybody in our state, no matter what town or city you live in. And I think it's a really, really important proposal that will help us address a really big problem for a lot of people without really deviating us from the path that's clearly worked to turn our finances around.
So, Comptroller, I mean, this to me sounded like almost a compromise, right? I mean, because certainly it made sense when you talk about the fiscal guardrails and what it did for paying down pensions, you know, the last budget session. But now we are looking at things that unfortunately have gotten out of control, education being one of them. I know, you know, we recently talked to Kate Diaz of the CEA, and she would like to see money being invested into special education, something else that the governor really touched on, and certainly public education and child care being a part of that. Do you feel like, though, by even adjusting the fiscal guardrails at all, it is setting a precedent where we're going to have to keep opening up that gap for more and more funding, you know, opportunities versus saving more? Or do you feel like we still have a good control over them?
I don't think we're opening up to more and more. The spending cap is still in place. The bond cap is still in place. The volatility cap is still in place. What we're doing, though, is perhaps just finding what the next iteration of the guardrails is going to be. Like I said, they're locked in through 2028. This does not change that. This just frees up a little bit of the money that we've been saving, 3%. To go and create public, pre-K for every kid in our state. That's a big deal. And I think that that's something that really will make an impact in our state from an education perspective, but from an affordability perspective, too. You talked about education funding. The governor's budget puts $160 million more into ECS funding. That's the primary education funding that towns get. $54 million into additional money for special education. So he's making really big investments. At the same time, we're also protecting that rainy day fund, not dipping into it, keeping the guardrails in place going forward. I think his budget is really all about just finding that balance that I think people have been talking about the fact that we need it. And I think that he will, you know, continue to stand behind the guardrails, as will I. This just is a way of changing a little bit to protect a lot of it.
Comptroller, we never got to talk about this, but I was curious your thoughts last month when that kind of mysterious, if you will, or I should say unexpected $340 million came about related to COVID relief. And I wasn't sure if you had a comment on that and where that money is going.
Well, I think there was a bit of a miscommunication between the treasurer's office and the governor's office on that. And for those listening that don't know what Melissa and I are talking about, this is about the interest that we got from the almost $3 billion of federal COVID money. States were able to keep the interest, and that interest was sort of put in an account and not rolled over. And so the governor made a decision to roll that interest over into the general fund. It was added this month to the general fund, and therefore it was basically just treated as our surplus. So our surplus went up by quite a bit this month. We now have a $433 million surplus projection. That's in large part due to that, but not entirely due to that. And that money at the end of the year will be rolled over into this new child care endowment that will help start sort of be the seed money for offering this assistance to parents across the state. And again, you know, I know there's some people listening who say, oh, you know, I already paid for daycare for my kids, or I don't have kids, or I have grandkids. If we can make education more affordable for people, it's a really good thing. There are some parents who can't even afford to send their kids to pre-K, and those kids start way behind when they get to public school. That has bad effects on everybody in our state, regardless of whether they have kids or not. And us making pre-K universal and more affordable, I think, is a good use of that interest money.
Well, and Comptroller, you know, not for nothing, but just from a news standpoint, when you, you know, after years and years of telling horrible stories of, you know, places that weren't even vetted and places that are just unaffordable, I mean, it is really, really difficult, not just here, but across the country, to find affordable and also, you know, credible places to put your children in for daycare. And it just seems like, especially since the pandemic, it's really become even more scarce. It had to become. If we can't start at the ground level for education, how can we expect to invest in K through 12? I mean, you know, we've got to kind of stand up before we, you know, walk, essentially. So, I mean, it makes sense that this has been made a priority, and it'll be interesting to see, like you said, what the legislature does with the governor's, you know, perspective, what he would like to see done. It'll be interesting to see what the budget looks like.
Yeah, and that's always a negotiation, right? And I've been on the other side of that table because I was in the legislature before I was comptroller, and I was the chair of the tax committee. So I've been in those debates and I've been in those discussions, and those will play out for the next few months. But at the end of the day, I think the governor's budget proposal kicks off this process. And if you're the average person looking at this and saying, what does this mean for me? I think the answer to that is the governor is laying out a roadmap for us to continue moving forward as a state, where we are paying down our debt, we're saving for rainy days, we're being fiscally disciplined, but we're also making really key investments that, thanks, by the way, are only happening because we have turned around our finances. We're only in a position to make these huge investments in things like education and healthcare and childcare because we have been fiscally disciplined, that we're going to start making Connecticut more affordable. And that is, I know, welcome news to the people of Connecticut who have been dealing with the high price of things for the last few years, in large part because of global economics. But we can make a difference here in the state. And at a time when our neighboring states like New York and Massachusetts are dealing with deficits, we've still got a surplus. We've got a rainy day fund, and we're in a position to make these investments. And I think the people of Connecticut should feel good about that.
Comptroller Sean Scanlon, I want to thank you for giving us the time here on WICC, and I look forward to talking to you again really soon.
Thanks, Melissa.
All right, that's Comptroller Sean Scanlon right here. I'm Melissa in the Morning.